Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families, and happy Monday to everybody. It is feeling, actually, I'm afraid to say it out loud, it's feeling like a pretty good Monday to me after having been through Hurricane Beryl. Of course, our prayers go out to all of our friends who are impacted by Hurricane Debbie. I hope that everyone is safe. We pray for the people who are in the path, for the first responders who we know are working and will continue to be working, and all of those who will be involved in the rebuilding. We continue to pray. And I just thank all of you again who came, either sent your resources or your own selves here to the Texas area following Hurricane Beryl. And thank you to those of you. I know we have many listeners who this is your mission in life and you serve in disaster response. For those of you who will be going out to respond to those in Hurricane Debbie, thank you so much for that. And we'll continue to pray. Listen, the verse that I am meditating on and memorizing this week comes from Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. And in a summer that just seems like it has been tumultuous and chaotic, and every 15 minutes I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to hear? Is the news coming? As we have had tumult over the political election, over the Olympics, which we talked about both of those things last week. We know that we serve a God who is on His throne. He is not surprised by any of these events. He is not sitting and wringing His hands, pacing the floor of heaven, wondering what is going to happen next. We serve a God who knows, who sees, who cares very deeply, and has invited us to walk with Him in obedience. And we know that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart and we can be of good cheer. I hope that you've been following along since January when I've challenged you to join in on our 52 Habits for Healthy Families. And I thought this might be a good time to check in really quick. We're going to be wrapping up our month and talking about safety and keeping our family safe. But if you're like me and you are engaging in the doom scrolling, now if you'll remember on Friday, I challenged you to hang up and hang out with your family, just as my daughter encouraged me. I hope you were able to do that and to be with them and to speak words of life and encouragement. But if you are like me and just struggling with all of the news of the day and how do we cope with this, these habits that we've been talking about, this is the way, my friends. This is the way. And if you remember, we'll go through and do a quick check-in here. Are you praying? Are you memorizing scripture? Are you plugging into a local church? Are you playing Christian music that is giving you edifying messages? Are you practicing gratitude? Are you listening with your face to your family and friends when you're talking? Do you have a good bedtime routine and sleep hygiene? Do you have a daily devotional, a morning routine? Are you playing with your family? Are you taking time for fun? Are you giving words of affirmation and being intentional about that? Are you writing letters to those you love? Are you having a regular family dinner? Are you giving generously? Are you prioritizing your family time? And by the way, the pop quiz in that, as I've shared, is through your credit card and your calendar. That will tell the tale. Are you modeling your faith before your family? Are you watching faith-based films that encourage you? Are you gathering together and taking time to be with your family? Do you have tech-free zones? Are you transparent with your tech use? Are you in the pictures that your family's taken? Are you taking time away for time off with vacation? Are you reading out loud? Are you having tech-free times and tracking your tech use and tidying up your tech? Now, if you're wondering about all of those, we've been talking about tech. You can catch the Dr. Nurse Mama coaching minutes, and those are just 1 minute reminders of all of these habits and how you can get started. And this month, we've been talking about safety. So we've talked water safety, sun safety, play safety. This week, we'll be talking car safety before we move back to some character traits. But I'm really excited because in a world full of bad news, We've got some great news for you today. We have a guest you may have already heard on a different program. On AFR, we have Tim Todd, and we are looking at National Truth for Youth Bible Week on AFR this week, August 5th through 11th. And we would love for you, our listeners, to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. In a world where truth is relative, they need these timeless truths, the truth of God's Word. So, Tim, I would love to just welcome you to the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Peck. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, we're friends now, so it's Jessica, and you can feel free to call me that. And
wonderful.
I look forward to hearing your heart. First of all, tell us a little bit about your testimony. How did you come to know the Lord and be called into a lifetime of ministry?
You know, Jessica, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad, actually, Cecil Todd, the founder of Revival Fires in Branson, Missouri, was on national Christian TV for in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s. He had the third longest running Christian program on national television. And I was raised in church, but as a teenager, my parents divorced, and it just rocked my world. I began to get a lot of unforgiveness in my heart towards my mom and dad and God, and just turned my back on God, Jessica, and I got as far away from the Lord as a person could get. And for several years, I was involved in drugs and alcohol and just living a life of sin. But thankfully, the Lord did not give up on me. And a friend of mine that I was getting drunk with one night on a Saturday, we went to a bar, and he had this crazy idea. He said, let's go to church tomorrow. So the next day, with the smell of alcohol, marijuana, and cigarettes all over my body and all over my breath, I went to church with my friend. And in that service, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of my heart and wouldn't let go. And Jessica, in the middle of the praise and worship, you know, the devil said, oh, Tim, you can't go forward right now. You've got to wait till after they have the special music and the announcements and the offering. And then they're going to have, the preacher will preach, and then he'll give an invitation. Then you can go forward. But the Holy Spirit reminded me that whenever I was growing up as a teenager, if somebody wanted to come see my dad, they would call and set an appointment. They would come to my dad's office, start at the reception area, go to the secretary's area, go to the administrative assistance area. Then they'd get in to see my dad. But if I wanted to see him, it wasn't that way. I was his son. I'd go to the office. I would pull around to the back, park under the carport, and I had a key that went directly into my dad's office. And if I ever had an emergency, I would use that key and get all of his attention, because he's my father and I am his son. And so the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. And I jumped out from behind that pew and I ran as fast as my feet would carry me. And when my knees hit the floor in front of that altar, Jessica, something broke inside of me. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I've been in full-time ministry now for over 38 years. I'm an evangelist. We live in West Monroe, Louisiana. My wife and I, 33 years married, have four precious children that are now raised. And I was excited to hear that you were a pediatric nurse. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
We have twin girls, Miracle Joy and Mariah Faith. They were born in Woman's Hospital in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And they were premature. Miracle weighed 1 pound at birth, and Mariah weighed 2 pounds at birth. And they are both completely healed, no problems at all. They had twin transfusion at birth.
Oh, wow.
And so, and I know you know all about that.
But I do.
And from that, the Lord saved the doctor. He gave his heart to the Lord. And from that, over $500,000 worth of debt was written off. And now our twins, they have no physical problems whatsoever. I know I said a lot right there, but you got me excited today after listening to your opening.
I love that, Tim. That is so encouraging and so many great messages to unpack there. First of all, you said my favorite words in the history of ever, and that is "but God," because
Amen.
Praise God that he did not leave us in despair. He did not abandon us, that there is always hope for anybody. So I really have chills just in those kinds of stories. And when you talk about asking, there's so many things I want to unpack here. First of all, I'm so happy about your daughters. That is a true miracle. What an amazing story, and praise God for that. And then in going to your dad, it reminded me of one of my family's favorite movies, Tim, is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
And I remember him seeing the sign, you know, ask dad, he knows. And just having that image of being able to have free access to your father, that is the image that we have and that we want kids to have, to know that they have access to their Heavenly Father. Well, I want to ask you, Tim, you shared, you know, you grew up in a family that was, that had a deep faith, and yet you still struggled. And I see that even more now. What kinds of special challenges do you think that, I think sometimes it's harder for kids who grew up in Christian families to overcome some of the shame and stigma that goes along with some of those choices. What have you learned from what you experienced when you were growing up and what you're seeing now? And how does that help you offer hope to a new generation?
You know, Jessica, as a dad and as a husband, I see so much the importance of spending time with your family and spending, making it a priority, God first, your spouse second, your family third, and the ministry that God called you to cannot be at the top. It's got to be after your relationship with the Lord. It's got to be after your relationship with your wife and your family. And so, you know, developing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with your spouse and with your family is just of utmost importance. And not just for people in the ministry, but in the ministry, those that are Christians, that is one thing that I've learned through the years. And of course, I'm still learning, and I'm just so thankful for a precious family. And that's what I would say in response to that question. Just, from our own life experiences and our own family, the importance. And of course, my dad and my mom, just wonderful, wonderful. My dad just went to heaven March 4th. He marched forth into heaven at 5:55 in the morning, 75 years in the ministry. And, but he just, all my brothers and sisters are serving the Lord and in full-time ministry. And so, you know, in spite of those struggles that we went through, God has blessed our family just with a wonderful legacy and a wonderful heritage.
That is really encouraging to hear. And there is just no story, no person that's beyond redemption, the redemption that's found in Christ for sure. But, you know, I mean, Tim, you shared pretty dramatically walking into that church smelling like marijuana, you said, right, and alcohol. And, you know, it seems like, I don't know what year that was. That was, I'm guessing, a number of years ago.
Yes.
But
yes,
it seems like times haven't changed that much. That's still the things that kids are struggling with today. What are you seeing in your ministry that families and kids are struggling with?
You know, you know all about, I'm sure, what the Lord is doing through the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible, and what we're seeing happen as a result of giving that Bible, the Truth for Youth, to Christian teenagers who then take them to school and give them to their friends in school. We are seeing young people that were on the verge of committing suicide, not only not committing suicide, but giving their life to the Lord. Young people that are involved in drugs and alcohol and involved in things like pornography and, confused about their sexual identity, things like that. When the light of the gospel is shined in the darkness that has overcome their life, the Lord is just radically changing these young people as a result of it. And of course, you know, the Truth for Youth Bible, not only is it the New Testament, but we've got 100 pages in the front that are comic stories, graphic novels, illustrated comics that deal with the truth about things that young people are up against, like cutting and sexting and bullying and suicide and drugs and drunkenness. And so we're so thankful for what God is doing and changing the lives of young people across America.
Well, you know, Tim, those are very real issues that we discuss quite frequently, much more frequently than I would like. Those are very real threats facing kids today, and we have addressed those head on. And when we come back, I have a lot of questions about what you're doing, and we'll learn more about Truth for Youth Bibles and how you can help. Now, if you're wondering, you can go ahead and visit TFY, that stands for truthforyouth.org, order online anytime, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. Between 8:30 and 4:30 Central, we will be right back with more from Tim Todd and Truth for Youth. Don't go away. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. I praise when I'm numbered. Welcome back, friends. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we have so many reasons to praise the Lord. And one of the biggest reasons I have is you. Thank you so much to our listeners. I know that your time is your most valuable commodity. And the fact that you are spending time here listening to us is so encouraging. That song, by the way, is called Praise by Brandon Lake. And if you are feeling overwhelmed with the doom scrolling that happens through the news headlines, a great way to change the energy in your heart and your home is to crank up some praise music. And that's a great song, Praise by Brandon Lake. Well, we are talking about National Truth for Youth Bible Week here on American Family Radio this week, August 5th through 11th. And we want you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. AFR and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide hope for teens as they return to school. And you know, we know that teens are in desperate need of hope. They are looking for it, and they're mostly looking for it on social media. And I am going to tell you, they're not going to find it there. There is despair. There is lack of truth. There is a culture where, as we talked about last week, anything goes. And when we see what happened on the Olympics and kids are seeing messages and images that they are not developmentally prepared to process, and we're told, you know, live your truth, anything goes, it creates a lot of uncertainty and fear because, again, anything can go. But if they face their hope on the Word of God, that is something that will never, ever change. In this culture, what gets you canceled tomorrow might be celebrated the next day. We don't know. But the Word of God never changes, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we want you to help us reach a generation of young people, get the Word of God into their hands as they go back to school, through the distribution of the Popular Truth for Youth Bible. We have Tim Todd here with us today. And Tim, tell us all about this initiative. Walk us through from the beginning what you're doing, what you're expecting God to do, and how our listeners can help.
Thank you so much, Jessica. And it's an honor to be on your program today. The Truth for Youth Bible, about 25 years ago, I approached Don Wildman, Tim Wildman, and Buddy Smith here at AFR and let them know about the Truth for Youth Bible that consists of the entire New Testament along with powerful comic stories, graphic novels, illustrated comics in the front section that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that our young people are confronted with on a daily basis. And so we put the plan of salvation in each one of those stories, Jessica, so that not only will the young people know the truth about these issues, but also they'll find their way to the foot of the cross and know how to give their life to Jesus Christ. So we give the Bibles to all of the teenagers that will commit to give them to their friends in school that are saved. We started this 24 years ago. We've given away 1.1 million Truth for Youth Bibles, and we have received in excess of 25,000 decision cards that are in the Truth for Youth Bible from young people across America that have given their life to Jesus Christ. And then, Jessica, we get them plugged into a local church wherever they live. And so this is a win-win situation where that we are shining the light of the gospel into the darkness of our of what is going on in our public schools among our young people. They're looking for truth, and the Word of God is the truth that will set them free.
That is absolutely true. And wow, Tim, 1.1 million Bibles with 25,000 decisions. That sounds like Vacation Bible School on steroids. That
Amen.
Is
Amen.
Absolutely amazing. And you know, all of these things that you're saying are all spiritual disciplines that, as you heard me saying and reviewing with our listeners at the top of the program, these are the building blocks for healthy families. If you want to build a family on a foundation that is the rock, that is not going to be weathered and beaten and torn down by the cultural chaos that we have, this is the way to do it. Getting into God's Word, plugging into a local church, praying, and depending on God for all of those things. Those are all so really important. Now, some people might be listening, Tim, and think, wait, did you just say comics? Is that okay? I mean, do we have a comic book Bible? Tell us more about that.
Yes, it's the whole New Testament in the God's Word translation. And then in the front section, Jessica, there are 100 pages of comic stories, the graphic novels that are several comics that deal with cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, pornography, sexual purity, homosexuality, abortion, sorcery and witchcraft, pluralism. We deal with all of these issues and many, many more. And also we even have one, Jessica, that deals with the truth about how important it is for our young people to listen to music that has a positive message and doesn't have a message that is in opposition to the Word of God. So we deal with all these different issues from a biblical perspective. And then, of course, the young people find out how to give their life to the Lord in the comics as well. And they'll read those comics, Jessica, before they'll read the New Testament part of it. But it is just a very, very popular tool that Christian young people, we put it in their hands for them to give to their friends in school. And the rest is history.
You know, I think it is a challenge when we're looking at this generation of kids, Gen Z, and then Gen Alpha is just now starting to turn 14. And Tim, they are just living in a completely different world than we lived in. Even millennials and Gen X, the world has changed. I mean, we look at even schools abolishing cursive writing, which used to be your measure of success in society, right? And kids who used to grow up reading just voraciously, we see reading going down. We see kids who are more accustomed to visual content. And I think this is important to not adapt the truth of what you're delivering, but to adapt the mode of delivery, adapt the way that we're delivering it, because that is what they're looking for. And you know, one of the things I've talked about, Tim, is that in this day and age, it can be really, really hard because kids have information overload. They have so many sources of information. And when we were growing up, it was our parents, our grandparents, our pastor, our community leaders, maybe our local school teachers. The influence, the circle of influence was small. But now if kids don't like what those influences say, or if they have any questions about it, they think, I'm not sure, maybe I'll look at this. It's so easy to get pulled into the information superhighway where you're fed a steady stream of disinformation. And then all of a sudden it starts to adapt your worldview and you think, oh, see, this is the way that the world is, when you're really just a victim of the algorithm. What can we do as parents to encourage our kids to stand for what they believe and to be confident in living out the values of their faith?
Yes. And you know, I found out just from my time frame of raising our children, and this is so important, that the best way to raise my children and to teach them what they need to know is three different ways: by example, and by example.
You tricked me. I love it.
So if we will set the example before them as to how they should be a soul winner, how they should pray, how they should read their Bible, how they should be faithful to the house of God, how they should be faithful to God with their finances, if we will show them how they should be a bold witness, then whenever we introduce to them, hey, it's time to give a Bible away in school, to take back your school, then that's not going to be foreign language to them. They're going to grab hold of it because they've been set that example by their parents.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier, Tim, that I'm a pediatric nurse, which is true. And I say this all the time. This is true whether it's living out your faith or eating your vegetables or wearing a helmet when you ride a bike. The way to influence your kids' behavior is to do it yourself. And so many times, you know, in this generation, we can get frustrated with kids and we think, oh, they just have their face in their phones. But, you know, I've said a lot of times before, Tim, we as adults, we have our face in our phones, whether it's a screen looking at the news, looking at our work email at home, or looking at media that we think is, you know, somehow more dignified or more important than what they're looking at. And a lot of times when we can be frustrated with the youth today, we can look back to ourselves and see we have not led them well. What kind of accountability can we take as older generations to really speak into the heart and encourage younger generations rather than just, I feel like so many times they get so many messages of discouragement, like this is a terrible time to be alive and, you know, life has changed so much and the world is so awful. And then we wonder why they're anxious and depressed. How can we take accountability as older generations to mentor and encourage this generation of youth upcoming?
I believe that one of the most important things we can do, Jessica, is to be as close and intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ as adults as we possibly can be. And then out of that relationship will flow our desire to mentor, our desire to set the example for our children and grandchildren. But it's so important for us, I believe, as adults, to stay as close to God as we can. You remember whenever King David was in the cave, and he said, "If I just had a drink of that fresh well water from Bethlehem, I believe I'd be all right." His mighty men were right there, and most Bible scholars believe that he just muttered that under his breath, just barely said it out loud. But those mighty men were close enough to King David that they felt his heartbeat. And they went and got that water for King David. We as adults need to be close enough to King Jesus to feel his heartbeat. And out of that relationship, then we are going to be the mentors that we need to be to our children and our grandchildren.
That is such a beautiful picture of thinking that. You're absolutely right. And that is one of the things we actually talked about on the program last week, about the voices that are speaking into this generation of youth and how, as parents, we're competing for influence in those voices. And I think the best way to compete for influence is through relationship. But, you know, Tim, we cannot do it on our own. It is too hard to parent without the wisdom and that daily dependence on the Lord and knowing his voice, whether he's in whatever way he speaks to you, just knowing his voice and speaking to that. Would you speak to the parents right now, Tim, who are thinking, you know what? My kid needs that Bible. My kid is struggling. My kid is where you described yourself, Tim, as just being far away from God. And I feel discouraged and I want to give up. What would you say to that parent?
I would say to that parent, Jessica, that if God can save me and God can bring me to where I need to be with the Lord, he can do the same and desires to do the same for every parent and grandparent listening to my voice right now. In fact, Jessica, the Lord wants their children and grandchildren to be in right relationship with the Lord even more than they want it, and they want it very much so, but the Lord wants it even more. And the Lord is not hiding his will for their life and the tools that we have. The Lord is not hiding those tools behind his back and trying to keep us in a guessing game. We have available to us. And so many times, Jessica, we try to do it on our own and we get overwhelmed with it because we're trying to do what the Lord wants to do through us. And the Lord wants us to totally depend on him, and he's given us the tools. He's armed us with the Word of God. He's armed us with prayer, with the tools that we need, the armor that we have available to us as believers to live the life in front of our children and grandchildren and for them to get in right relationship with the Lord.
It is. We can never stop praying. We just have to never stop praying because God is always at work. And one of the verses I share really frequently here, Tim, is from Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And sometimes God does not change our circumstances, but he changes us in the process. He refines us. He makes us new. And I think there's a lot of pessimism about this generation. But I see, Tim, and we have interviewed on this show several guests who have attested to the fact that there are kids in Gen Z whose hearts are on fire for the Lord, who want to see revival. And when we're up against a break here, but I want to bring you back for the next segment because, Tim, I want to speak words of encouragement to those kids who are going into very hostile environments and speaking words that are needed. I think about my own husband who was invited to church by a friend when he was a teenager, invited to a youth group. And that's where he was really first introduced to the concept of a relationship with Christ. And I wonder what would have happened if that family had not taught their son to make that invitation, if they had not made that a habit of going regularly to church, they had not made it a habit to invite their friend to church. And one thing we've done in our family, Tim, is that we've told our kids, you never, ever have to ask us permission to take any kid to church ever. Amen. We will find a way, no matter how far, no matter what we have to drive, who we have to talk to. If there is a kid that wants to come to church with you, we will make that happen. Well, listen, we're going to have some more with Tim Todd when we come back, but there are ways that you can donate to give a Truth for Youth Bible to a kid who needs it. You can go to tfy.org. You can order online anytime. That's Truth for Youth, tfy.org. Or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. That's between 8:30 and 4:30 Central. You can do that by phone. Do not go away. We'll be right back with more from Tim Todd and Truth for Youth and celebrating Youth Bible Week on AFR this week. Be right back after this break.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Again, and now death has no sting.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, it is really hard to make that song stop. I love that song. You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood by Charity Gale. And I am going to be honest with you. I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes because God has done that for me. God has saved me from a fate I can't imagine. And thinking about the things that I've been through, the trials that I've been through, there but for the grace of God go I. He saved me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. And we have been talking to Tim Todd about Truth for Youth Bible Week and the way that God saved Tim's life as well. And he can save yours too. There is no one who is too far gone, too far away, too washed up, washed out to be washed with the blood of Jesus. That is just the absolute truth. Tim, thank you so much for being with us and sharing about National Truth for Youth Bible Week. I appreciate you being on so much.
You're welcome, Jessica. And I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to reach out and offer hope to young people across America. And the thing is, Jessica, there may be parents and grandparents even now that are listening to your broadcast, that they've got children and grandchildren that, like me, their children are not in right relationship with the Lord. They've done perhaps all that they knew to do, and their parents or their children are not serving the Lord. And I just want to encourage the parents to continue to pray fervently, because the Lord, I believe, will give them their household if they will stand firm in their faith and praying and believing God. And, you know, I was ready to commit suicide, Jessica, and as a young man, and I had lost everything. And as I put that gun up under my chin and cocked the hammer of that pistol back, that 45, I said, Lord, if you're listening, I need your help. And my mom called as the word help came out of my mouth. And she said, Tim, I've been praying for you all morning. She said, I was praying just now, the Holy Spirit told me to stop praying and call you. She said, are you okay? So I said, no, Mom, I want to come home. And I started home, and I'd made up my mind, I'm going to quit doing this, I'm going to quit doing that, and then get right with the Lord. But that doesn't work. And so I ended up right back in the bars. But thankfully, the Lord didn't give up on me. And so if not, but for my mom's prayers and for my mom's phone call, what would have happened? And it changed the trajectory of my life. Our twin girls, if not, but for that what happened. And as a result of that, that doctor at a woman's hospital gave his heart to the Lord, if not, but God intervening. And I'm so thankful for that. And so I want to encourage those parents listening right now. If you've got children that are not serving the Lord, don't give up. Don't be weary in your praying, but instead stand firm. And I'm trusting God with every parent and grandparent. Your children are going to get in right relationship with the Lord.
I mean, there just almost aren't any words to follow that up, Tim. I mean, I know that there is someone out there listening who needed to hear that word of encouragement from you, to know that, yes, you were at that place of desperation, and yet your mother's words, listening to the voice of God to prompt her to call you. I can't help but think that God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And their prayers do matter. You know, I think about my own grandmother who prayed and prayed and prayed for so many things. One of the things that she really prayed for was reconciliation between me and my sister. We had had our relationship broken by the trauma that we had endured beyond any hope of repair. We were estranged for almost 10 years, which is just absolutely unbelievable. And God worked in such a miraculous way to reconcile our relationship. I've actually had my sister on the show here to share that story. And I am convinced, Tim, that it was the power of my grandmother's prayer. She never gave up. She never lost faith in what God could do in His timing, knowing that He makes things beautiful in His timing. And I encourage all of the parents, I stand alongside you, Tim, and encourage the parents who are listening. If your children are far from God, do not give up hope. Do not stop praying. Do not stop hoping. Do not stop pursuing them. And know that God can work all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And Tim, I do, before the break, we were talking about those students and those young people who are following the Lord,
yes,
who are just pursuing Him with all of their passion, and yet they may feel afraid. They may feel discouraged. How can you speak encouragement to them?
You know, one thing, and I'll just put this as a layer of what I'm saying here. To help the young people, to encourage them with boldness on the back of the Truth for Youth Bible, Jessica, we've got the Students' Legal Rights on Public School Campus that helps them to know that legally they have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. So that encourages them. And our young people need encouragement from the Word of God. They need encouragement from their parents and their grandparents and from their Christian peers and from their youth pastor and those that are in authority to know that whenever they go on their school campus, that in spite of all of the terrible things that are happening and all of the peer pressure, and we deal with peer pressure in one of the comic stories, by the way, all of the things that are happening, that if they will stand firm in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, get as close to God as they possibly can, then from that will be the premium gasoline, the fuel, the spiritual fuel that will help them not only to live for God, but to be the effective witness that they need to be. So I encourage the parents and the grandparents to pour into your children, compliment them and encourage them with the Word of God. You know, just everything that you speak into your children, pepper it with the Word of God all through and encourage them. You can be the man of God. You can be the young person, the young lady that God wants you to be among your peers, and not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged, because in these last days, God is raising up a radical, on fire for God group of young people that are taking back what the devil has stolen. Joshua's and mighty men and mighty young ladies, Esther's, in these last days that God is raising up to be a bold witness in the sphere of influence that God has placed them in.
Well, when you talk about being bold, you know, the messages that kids are getting today are very bold. You mentioned earlier one of the problems that I am seeing like wildfire is sexting, and that is sending yes. explicit images. And when you look at the messages that they get from culture, from popular teen magazines or influencers or websites, they don't say, should you do it? They say, here's how you can do it your best. Here's when, why should you not do it? You know, and that is a lot of the messages that they get around a lot of risk-taking behaviors, whether that is using substances, drinking alcohol, or, you know, just any number of risks that they're facing. We see this bold messaging saying, live your own truth, you know, do it, take the risk. And we see advertising being even more bold in seeking the marketing power, the consumerism that is in Gen Alpha and Gen Z, exploiting that. And so I feel like we need to be bold in giving simple messages like, God loves you. God has a plan for you. There is hope for your life. You can find peace and contentment. I mean, these are not, when you look at the comparison of messages, I find it really puzzling sometimes when people will say, oh, that's so controversial. That's not controversial at all. And so how can we share hope in a world that desperately needs it? What is the message of hope that we're really sharing through the Truth for Youth Bible?
You know, the truth of God's word for the young people that are Christians, and then they go and take them to school, and we've got so many testimonies of young people that they not only are they being delivered from drugs and alcohol and considering suicide and things like that, But more important than any of that, they're giving their life to Jesus Christ. So this is encouraging for Christian young people to see what God is doing through this powerful, powerful project. And so what is encouraging, you know, it's something to see young people as they give their life to the Lord. Then they have got a group of people that they're hanging out with that are not serving the Lord that they have an influence on. So the impact, the encouraging impact it has on these radical, on fire for God young people that go and they see their friends give their heart to the Lord as a result of giving these young people, these precious young people, a copy of the Word of God as a result of it. Many of them are giving their life to the Lord. And this is so encouraging for these young people as they're bold witnesses on their school campus.
Well, in case you missed it, Tim shared that so far to date in the years you've been doing this, you've given away more than 1.1 million Bibles and gotten 25,000 decision cards from those Bibles back for kids who are choosing to give their life for Christ. And that is so exciting. And one thing that you talked about earlier, Tim, was the power of music. And when we look, we have had a lot of very big debates right here on this show about the landscape of music for young people and looking at cultural icons like Taylor Swift or even some of the other things that are there. I mean, it just seems like there are no boundaries. But I think parents can have a big influence. We talked about prayer, plugging them into church. Parents can have a big influence on the music that you choose to play in your car, in your home. What do you listen to? How have you exercised that in your own family, Tim?
You know, in my family, what we decided as early on is we decided that we were going to listen to Christian music and not just because we wanted to be an example to our children, but that was what was on the inside of us. And so many times I'll have parents or I'll have young people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that song or there's nothing wrong with that music. It's just music. And so I sum it up with one sentence, basically, that any music that has a message that is in opposition to the Word of God is not music that you should be listening to. And so what we've done is whenever Miracle and Mariah were babies in NICU at Woman's Hospital, I got permission from the nurses for us to have that's been 27 years ago, so it was one of the cassettes.
I love it.
And so we would play music softly next to it. Miracle was in the hospital for five months. And so during that time frame at Woman's Hospital, we played Christian music all through their life when they would get in our vehicle or come to our, you know, anytime that we're listening to music. It was Christian music. It was music that was not just uplifting, but it was music that that had a message of hope and faith and truth and the Word of God. And that has, I believe, been so, so important in the music that our young people, that our children have listened to through the years. And now my daughter Mariah, one of our twins, she is a worship leader. Miracle Joy is on the worship team at a different church. And so you can see, we have reaped a harvest for the seed that we've sown.
A worship leader named Miracle Joy.
I mean,
you can't even make this up. That is a God-written story for sure. And I appreciate you sharing that, Tim, because it's not about the evils of secular music as much as it is about the power of worship, the power of influence. And when we're listening to all of the voices that are coming in, music is one of those vehicles that is really influencing the heart and posture and attitude. I play worship music in my house even when I'm not here because, you know, a wicked cannot stand where God's
Amen.
Name is proclaimed. And so I love that. Well, listen, you can help by getting a Truth for Youth Bible into the hands of a young person. You can go to tfy.org, order online anytime, or call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And we will see you right here tomorrow with more hope for healthy families. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.